And if you interact, your life is on contract. Your best bet is to stay away, motherfucker. It's just one of those days. It's all about the he said, she said, bullshit.
Episode 5, Slinging the Biscuit. Limp Bizkit breaks stuff. You ever want to break some stuff, Pat?
I like breaking things. I like breaking things in, too. Makes it more comfortable.
You ever get so mad you want to break somebody, break somebody's face?
So I feel like this is coming from a specific place, Trav. Is there something going on in your life that you just want to break someone? Who are you trying to break?
Both emotionally and physically. We'll get into it later on in the podcast, but Carey Price, CP31. I just want to come out and say, fuck you, Carey Price. This guy has personally ruined our podcast for this week. I'm disgruntled emotionally, physically. I might even just go punch a hole in the wall after this podcast. I'm so disgruntled about it, but he inspired the opening track. Carey Price ruined this podcast this week. That's how I'm feeling. How are you feeling?
Well, I'm also a little upset with him. You know, I feel like it's personal. I feel like he knew and attacked us personally, and I just can't help but feel that way. But yeah,
we'll get into this beef. We'll get into the beef in a second. Rule number one, you want to be a big podcast, you want to be a big YouTuber, you got to come at everybody. Guns drawn, guns ablazing, and you got to come in dick swinging when you walk into the room.
And when they come at us, even better, which clearly is happening with Carey. He knows us and is mad. He came at us.
We probably deserved it after he heard about me talking about rear-ending him in downtown Winnipeg to get an autograph. He probably heard that, and that's...
Yep, probably. He listened that deep into the last episode, which was what, like an hour and 10 in? He was definitely listening to it.
He was engaged.
He was engaged. Our reach.
We got a big podcast for you today. We got a couple things to talk about for episode 5. Pat just spent the entire week in Florida. I haven't heard from him up until today, so it's been nice to kind of see his face, hear back from him again. A wild week.
I went off the rails.
Yeah. The guy literally went off the grid for a week, but it's good. We got lots of stuff to talk about for that. We got to get into the whole Carey Price issue. We got a new sponsor for today. That's big. We got a brand new sponsor. Really excited. This is probably the best company to ever sponsor us or ever will sponsor us. So that's some big stuff. But let's start off with some small stuff. Episode 4, fuck-ups. Things that we messed up. Top of the list, my dad didn't like your pissing on the bed story. He was very disgruntled about that. He personally called me and said, son, I don't like that. Why'd you tell that story?
Why? What did he not like about it?
He was bothered.
Is it coming from maybe experience? Did it happen to him and it brought up bad memories?
I didn't ask. I just said I wasn't the one telling the story.
Hey, that's fair. Hey, sorry, Trav's dad. I just had to get that one off my chest and off of my bed in the sheets.
There you go, Dad. There's your answer. Outside of that, episode 4 was clean. No fuck-ups. That was the only one. The only mistake. Nailed the opener. Nailed everything else. And funny enough, Dale Weiss mentioned last week, the NHL is strangling players' personalities, choking the game out of any growth they could have from personalities. And that gets us into today's topic, our beef with Carey Price, shall we say. So
it's sad, man. Essentially, we had our online friend, Caden Primula, and he came on. We had a good chat with him. You know, I thought we, got his personality out a little bit, which was a goal of ours whenever we have an NHL player on, you know, in all our history of podcasting, which is like 3 episodes. And he came, we sent it to him. He gave it the okay. We had what I thought was a fun interview. And then all of a sudden, Caden got a notification from the Montreal Canadiens because so-and-so, Carey Price, you know, whoever that is.
Ever heard of him?
Got hurt. So Caden gets the call up to the Canadiens. And if you're on the Canadiens, you have to send in to their PR team anything that if you're on a podcast or anything you're going to post, which a little much in my opinion, and they listened to our podcast and just said no fucking way. What was the exact wording they used?
So first off, Caden, I thought was probably our best interview to date. The guy was very comfortable, very himself. I thought we had some great conversation. Jeez, try speaking today, Thurav. And great interview. He approved it. He loved it himself. And he says, "Oh, I'm going to send it off to the PR staff. Obviously, you know, you're in the big time. You got to get the approval." And I'll read you word for word here what the email said. First off, this guy's name is Noah. I don't like people whose name Noah.
Noah's Ark? Are you fucking building ships and having a zoo? Freaking kidding me? Just give like his exact quote of how it didn't align or whatever he said.
Well, he gave me one email where he basically beat around the bush and didn't say, or he said that they didn't like it. It doesn't fall in line with the organization. I had to hit him about three or four more times to finally get an answer out of him. And basically what he said, sorry, the overall vision of your podcast, multiple phrases used, and segment themes do not represent what we are in line with the Montreal Canadiens and our organization. We have our own podcast we use to promote our players in line with our style and our organizational views, which you do not. Please refrain from posting and good luck with your future endeavors. Fuck you, Noah.
Yeah, you know what, Noah? Noah, you deserve a little punch in the fucking face, you soft-ass motherfucker.
You soft pussy.
And breaking things. I want to break Noah. Is this too much? No, you know what? No, fuck you. I want to break his fucking will. I want to really break him down.
Well, I was thinking you want to break his will, like get us into his will, so when he dies from us beating him, mm-hmm. we're going to have some nice inheritance coming in. But
it was a double meaning.
If we've learned one thing, if you can take away one thing from the Sling the Biscuit podcast, it is research your enemy, keep your friends close, enemy closer. Do a little research.
Oh, you know Noah. You got to know him.
Fresh out of university. Fresh marketing guy. Mm-hmm. Never played the game. Big marketing guy. Big PR guy. I bet you this guy would have a hard time tying his skates. He probably was like, oh, I got a job. Mom, I got a job in the Montreal Canadiens.
Dude, we had one of these guys at Maine, and he was pretty young too, and would always kind of be nervous about everything, you know, doesn't want to upset the coach, kind of just scared, doesn't want to lose his job, you know? And I think Noah's in that situation where he's like, oh, like, and it's a bigger stage, obviously, it's the fucking Canadiens, but he's probably just sitting there like, oh, I can't have anyone do any swearing, anything. And obviously we're on here, we're dropping F-bombs, we're talking piss stories, you know? So
beat ourselves, unforgivably, yeah, ourselves.
Which I think is way better, and what the world, not just the world, but mostly the hockey world. It's what the hockey world needs. Because example here, Caden showed a little personality, didn't say anything bad, literally nothing bad. We say we swore, maybe we said a few things that we say the stupid shit. He did nothing, and literally they shut down the podcast. And I think that's just like a huge problem with the marketing of the NHL in general, not just the Canadians. That's not just a target at them. It's just the hockey culture. They shut down every personality, anything that's, I don't know, funny, that would be marketable. Like, I don't know. How do you feel about that?
It's funny because Dale Weiss literally mm-hmm. told us last week the NHL is strangling guys' personalities. They're strangling any marketability they could have. You know what? Sean Avery is probably the last NHL player to actually have some true personality, let him be himself. I think Paul Bissonnette had a good amount of personality, but the NHL tightening the ropes over time from 2010 to 15 by the time he was out of the league. And if I just don't understand. Like, people are dying to see some personalities. Like, do you think people want to listen to your stupid, shitty fucking podcast where, yeah, you know, we're out there, we're just trying to get 2 points. You know, we got pucks in deep. You know, we brought our A game, but the other team brought a little bit better of an A game. You know, they outworked us and they got 2 points. You know, we're going to try to be better in the next one. You know, we got to find a way to win. Like, nobody gives a shit about hearing that. It's boring. Shit.
It's the same old thing, but it sounds good in, like, the ears of, like, the, I don't know, the management, the coaches, the people that want you to be boring, because it doesn't cause any controversy. It's not risky. It's just safe. And where are you going to get in life if you're just being safe? You're not taking chances. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's a complacent thing. But even Dale said, he's like, that's why we are a meme. That's why I made it. I did a meme. I made a fucking video making fun of a hockey press conference. And I was like, oh, this in my mind was, let me take the stupid generic shit they say and then have pretend like it's two idiots not understanding how like the hockey culture works and saying stupid shit by accident. And it's making fun of the way how boring these, like, just let us have personality. I don't know. Do something, man. It's sad. I mean, I thought Biznasty was kind of like a pioneer in a lot of ways, because the way he would tweet, and he was famous on Twitter, really, and as a fourth line guy. And you don't see that often. It's because he showed a personality, but even he had to you know, go through the PR team, but they gave him a lot of breathing room to, you know, post some funny shit. And yeah, I guess you don't really see that.
You know
that.
What? I think when it becomes the norm, when the new norm is we're getting pucks deep, we're trying to get pucks to the net, that becomes the norm. That's what everybody gets. So now when you step out of line and you say something that Sean Avery would say, now it becomes a big media spectacle. But if you let everybody be themselves, that's all you're getting all the time. So it doesn't fall out of line. Like, for example, again, to bring it back to the COVID masks, a year ago, if I walked into a grocery store wearing a COVID mask, people would be like, what is wrong with this fucking weirdo? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, if I walk in without a mask, now I'm being shunned for being this prick.
Mm-hmm.
It's the new standard. And they give you, I was watching, I had my woman over the other night, and I was watching the post-game interviews for the Tampa-Chicago game. And I don't even know why they do post-game interviews. They just give you the same shit over and over. Like, listen, Noah, marketing guys in the NHL, fuck you and your shitty podcast. Honestly, fuck you guys and the stuff that you're putting up because nobody wants to listen to it. NHL, listen to me. People are dying for personality. Give it to them. Fuck you.
Dude, for real. I don't know. I mean, I think there's a reason why Spit and Chiclets works is because they show personality. I think
they're so big they can get away with it as well. I think.
Right, right. But their best interviews or best guests are the ex-players. And like Dale was like, yeah, I don't interview current players. I do ex-players because they're not afraid to share the stories. You know what I mean? That's sucks, dude. I don't know. I hope it changes, but it's honestly not looking like it's gonna. But I just think we're going to see hockey getting less and less popular because no one feels like they know the player.
No, you know? It's not personal anymore.
It's not.
And here's another thing I will say. I think we're both in agreement that moving forward in the podcast, we will not be having any more interviews, any more guest interviews, because the last 2 weeks of this bullshit of having to get an NHL team to approve our podcast and having to deal with players who are worried about losing their job because they said they don't like cheese curds or they said that they don't know how to approach somebody in public because there's a pandemic going on. Fuck you, Montreal Canadiens. We're not having any more guests anymore. We got Jeremy Broder coming on next week. He's going to co-host the podcast with us. We got some guys who are going to co-host the podcast. Join it. Become conversational.
Yeah.
I'm pissed. I'm fired up. Let's fucking go.
I think this is going to be a cool way to see and feel the personality of the player better, where we're just talking shit. We're not really interviewing them, asking the generic questions. They're kind of just flowing with us. I think it's an opportunity to get to know the guest better. But do you want to cut out interviews completely? I feel like we shouldn't jump and just be like forever no interviews, because maybe it's, you know, we get someone and it's like, this would be a cool interview.
For the immediate future, maybe things change. Things do change quite frequently around here. But to change gears real quick, you got any videos you're working on right now? Any projects you got coming up? Any videos in the vault, in the works?
I do. For my hockey channel, I have one it's called the Shootout Challenge $1,000 Shootout Challenge, where there's like five of us in a goalie and we have a shootout, like three shots per round, and we battle for $1,000. That's when I got going. Then I'm about to start pumping out a lot of my sketches and skits and stuff there on IGTV and my new channel. So that's what I've been working on in the background. But how about you? You got anything coming?
First off, I just want to say that $1,000 shoot, that's basically $1 million Canadian. Sign me the fuck up.
Yeah.
You could buy a lot more interviews with NHL players for that kind of dough, especially with the currency, the state of the currency, I should say. First videos I got going on, I did a video this week, a little bit different. It was a travel vlog going from Vancouver to Winnipeg on the train, kind of highlighting some of the views, some of the scenery, the experience on the Canadian train lines, which I thought was kind of cool. Next week is a video on my knee injury. I haven't skated in about 5 weeks. I'm actually skating tonight for the first time in about 5 weeks. Yeah, trying to get things back on track, speaking of it, or funny enough, with the whole train.
What did you do to your knee?
MCL sprain.
Fuck.
It wasn't necessarily one moment that injured it. It was more just like the straw that finally broke the camel's back. Yeah,
sure.
Kind of just everything kind of wearing out. So I think it was good, though. It kind of made me – the last 5 weeks of having to give my body TLC every day has kind of got me back in the understanding what my body needs, kind of getting back in touch, back in sync, and knowing what my body needs to sustain a full upcoming season, which I think is good. As far as videos go, I got some reviews I'm working on, some gear reviews. My equipment's about a year old, so I got that. I'm ordering new gear as well, so that's a new video coming up. My signing for next season, we got some news on that coming up soon. It's a lot of good stuff.
But like you are signing. You have like some big news, or is this?
We're gonna have to watch the video to find out. I don't want to give away too much.
Oh, that's intense. I have briefly about your injury. You've taken 5 weeks off the ice. Yeah. How do you feel? Do you feel good? Nice break from the ice?
It's been a nice break because I've been still editing video and I've been looking at video, I've been looking at footage and thinking to myself, like, I think I should do this. I could implement that. I could change this. So I think this is all good things. Mm-hmm. It's been a nice little refresher too. And like I mentioned, getting back in touch with my body and I don't know, I sound like a hippie or like some guy living under a bridge or in a van, like a van life guy.
The vibes are immaculate.
Yeah. Well, listen to my body being like, listen, you want to sustain a full season over, you know, in Sweden and Germany, wherever you want to go. Okay, this is what the body needs. And right. I think it's been really good to kind of get to know my body a little bit better.
Yeah,
know what it's up to today.
No, dude, it is good to rest. People will get so caught up in that, you know, work harder than the next guy and they just go. But you learn once you get when you take the step back and take a little break that it refreshes you and makes you, you know, more motivated when you get back into it. I think it's healthy to take that step back and recover for your body and mostly like mentally, you know.
Well, I think too, it's a challenge. Like obviously trying to make hockey based YouTube videos. Right. You can't really make hockey YouTube videos without hockey. Right?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a challenge, but
it definitely is.
On that topic, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Who do you enjoy watching on YouTube and listen to on podcasts? Because I know, at least I think personally, if you don't have your finger on the pulse of the hockey community, at the podcast community, you know who's going big, you know who's plummeting, what the trends are. If you're not on top of that, you fall behind really quick. I'm very engaged in the community, at least on my side. I'm curious about your side.
All right, I'll just give you my attention. So for YouTubers in general, I watch a lot of Nelk. I watch these guys called Slappers Only, who is a sketch channel. I watch a lot of Logan Paul's Impulsive podcast. I've become a big fan of his. And then I also like for podcasts, I'll watch or listen to. Do you know who Joe Santagato is?
Heard of him, yeah.
So he's he used to do like funny review videos, and he ended up doing a podcast called The Basement Yard. And he kind of sits there one on one with his friend and just shoots the shit. And I get a lot of inspiration from him of just like because he does like comedy based, you know, conversation, and I love that a lot. The one that I started to tell you before the podcast was the style of podcast or talk show interview that I liked a lot is this guy Jeff. So he does Jeff's Barbershop. You ever seen that?
No, I haven't.
So the what he does, he is Jeff Wittick, and he has them on because he used to be a barber before he started doing like YouTube. So he takes a celebrity in and he cuts their hair and he does like a 10-minute interview. He like chops it up, obviously. Makes it like a 10-minute interview and he's just kind of shitting on them. Just makes fun of them, shits on their life. And they know that they're going into that. And either they kind of don't know what to do or they try to give it back. And I think that style is different and unique and funny. That's why I'm really into that right now. But yeah, as for the hockey ones, I keep up with the Spit and Chicklets stuff and a bit of Sean Avery's thing. And then I'll tune into there's not that many hockey ones in general, but I'll sometimes tune in to see what like PK is doing because obviously he's kind of a personality. Now, who are you up staying up to date with here?
You know, there's a guy called Downey Live, Michael Downey. He's based out of Vancouver. He's like a travel vlogger, a historian. He does a lot of really, really cool stuff. And I was just drawn in by his ability to tell a story and communicate that by both telling you and showing you. And I've ripped off so many ideas from his videos on how he makes his videos in the last little bit that I put into mine, which I think you can tell if you watched any of my recent videos. I'm glued to his videos every Saturday. Every Saturday morning he's got a new video, and I'm one of the first to watch it every time. So he's really good. I love Steve Will Do It. You know, he did a video giving away a Tesla the other week, and he titled it giving away a Tesla to my gay assistant. And he's like, well, just so you know, my assistant isn't gay. I just said that he was gay because I know you'd watch the video. Like stuff like that. It's just, it's got me hooked. Just the dumb shit that he does. You know, I used to love Casey Neistat's vlogs. I used to love the way he put the videos together, just the whole view, the whole everything. And now I don't really give a rat's ass what anything he posts because he's just so political. He's just like, I come to escape, right? I want to be entertained. The horse shit going on out in the world, I don't need any of that. You can turn on any fucking channel out there, news channel, YouTube channel. You can find more than enough to deal with it. I don't want that shit in my life. I want to be entertained. I want something new. And hearing about politics, about COVID, about the president, about, I don't give a fuck. So I don't really care too much about him, although he was my original inspiration for making vlogs, but that's about it. None of the hockey influencers really wow me anymore. Like the on-the-bench guys don't wow me. Nasher doesn't wow me. Like nobody wows me anymore. There's no hockey YouTuber I'm like, I got to watch the next video. There's something cool going to, because I don't think there's anything cool going on these days.
No, it's tough with hockey right now. I don't know. With hockey, you can only go. You can only do so much. You know, if it's such a specific topic, like for me as a college hockey player, you know, then there's like the life of a college hockey player. I can only do it so many times, and like I have my off season vlogs, and it gets tough to just come up with new hockey stuff. You know, if it just has to be hockey. I feel like
you kind of box yourself in though when you start. You start doing the reviews, the day in the life, all the other vlog bullshit. Now you're boxed in. You paint yourself in a corner, and that's what people expect out of you. They expect it religiously, and if it's not, they'll leave. Which is
it's tough, dude. Because I don't know about you, but for me, there's so much more to me than hockey. Like I've done so much hockey in my life for the.
Are you telling me you do things in your life that don't revolve around the rink?
Right. You know, isn't that wild?
Tell me more. Please do.
But like 23 years, probably now, I think 22 years. Like, I don't know. I started skating when I was like two, three fucking, but I just spent so much hockey, and my whole life I've had these other interests. Like I like to act. I like to make sketches. I've been making sketches and stuff since I was a little kid. I took a class on it in high school. So I love doing that shit. I started sprinkling it in a little bit in my on my other main channel, and it's like there is a group of people that love it. They think it's great, you know, because they like my personality and whatever. But then there's some that don't even click it because they're just, I just want to see hockey vlogs. And I realize that I'm like, I've created such a niche because it's so specific. If I want to break out, I gotta separate it. So that's kind of why I'm separating it, so I can just have more freedom, even if it doesn't get as big, or if maybe it does, you know, I believe that it will eventually, but it just gives me a freedom to just create whatever the fuck I want. There's no restriction. There's no, this has to be hockey, you know?
It's funny you mention that, because we've both built a following from scratch of just hockey players. Like the first viral videos we both had were hockey themed. Now this is what people expect of us. Eventually the ride's going to come to an end. Whether you can't find an opportunity anymore, you have a career-ending injury, something like that, it's going to come to an end one day. And I've actually been putting a lot of thought into this, more so because of my injury, and I haven't been able to skate. I've been brainstorming new ideas. Have you ever thought about when hockey comes to an end, when you're done, what are you going to do? Are you going to keep making videos? Have you ever thought about what you want to do?
Yeah, I would love to get into acting. I mean, I've made slow steps into it, but it's hard, obviously, to do. I've made small steps into it, but so, whenever hockey ends, I don't know exactly yet, but I definitely want to get into the acting, and I would like to, like I said, I'm making the other channel for sketches, so I'd probably do a lot of that if I didn't have hockey, I would definitely do a lot of that, and maybe change my hockey channel, like maybe keep hockey-related stuff, but, you know, maybe slowly change it into like a fitness lifestyle channel more so. But
the hard part about that is so when I was making the montage, the NHL goalie montage, when I first started YouTube, and when I transitioned to original videos, I went from putting up like 10,000 views a video, kind of where I am right now,
right,
and this is like 5-6 years ago, to now I'm putting up like 500 views. Like that drop off of views, it's just such a punch in the gut. And you got to build that up again. And I think to myself sometimes, like, if I wanted to rebrand or if I wanted to start something new, if you wanted to start, you know, doing sketches or fitness style stuff, I like me personally, I would love to do travel vlogs and be like a travel vlogger, travel the world and then document it. But the starting from scratch is a big, it's a big drop off. It sucks.
Yeah. Cause you know, you're like, there's only so many people that will come over from that following you've already built, you know, cause they are interested in hockey. But it, I think you should do it. Honestly, like start a travel channel now. And by the time you're, you know, ending with hockey, maybe you have a following with it, you know, there's something to go off of. But yeah, it definitely sucks because you know how much it took to build up your current channel and how it takes time. And you're like, fuck, like another few years and I can get, you know what I mean? It's hard to start from nothing. But if you think back to when, you know, you started your original channel, it was, you know, you had that such a, what's it like, optimistic mindset of like, oh, like it's going to be great. You know?
Well, and on top of that too, like I look at things and I'm sure you've kind of gotten a little bit of a peek behind the curtain since you and I have started talking like on a business, you know, perspective, but YouTube is my full-time job. It's my full-time income and it has been for 3+ years now. And I started making YouTube videos 10 years ago, making how many videos for fucking $0, not making a dime off any videos. And I think to myself, it's my full-time job right now. Like you need to make money to live. It's the way the world is. But if you want to transition to that, financially, that's not really an option. Like you have to do something else. Yeah. You know, it's a constant struggle. Business, pleasure, passion, right. Project, work. What do you want to do?
Yeah, it's tough. It's, I know it's hard, right? Because that's not, when you start from zero, it's not, you know, it doesn't make you money. But I've been thinking about exclusive content stuff and, you know, offering.
Pay to play?
Yeah, like whatever it is monthly, offering them exclusive content, Q&As, like one-on-one talks, Zoom calls, like coaching, all my workout plans. I don't know, just something that just gives a little more income, because obviously it's a fucking grind to make money with YouTube. Ugh. And then
you're a slave, dude. You are slave to the algorithm of whatever platform you're on. That dictates what you're going to do. To kind of transition, I did have an idea inspired by your trip to Florida when the Jake Paul bullshit. If you could fight any hockey YouTuber, any hockey personality, you get a boxing match or an MMA, you want to go full on, you know, grapple and choke them out, who would you fight?
A hockey YouTuber?
It could be a hockey YouTuber. It could be a YouTuber in general. Like who do you want to go brawl into the ring?
Jacob Ardown. I want to, not because I hate him or I'm mad at him, but because I know he would do it too.
he would Donnie. He'd go into an MMA match.
He used to scrap a bit when he played. So we were talking about it a lot. And when he was in juniors, he used to fight a lot.
Yeah.
And he's not like the biggest of guys.
But he'll throw him.
Yeah, no, he chucks fists. So I'm like, all right, dude. Yeah. He would tell me all the time that he would like fight me, and even though I have like, I want to say like 50 pounds on him, but he's just like, yeah, he's like, I'll fight you. I'm like, okay, like I respect that. So you know what? Maybe I'll box him. Maybe I'll get some buzz around the internet.
Boxing or MMA?
I because we're both amateurs in both. Like I'd do either one, right?
Doesn't really matter, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think if once it becomes wrestling, though, I feel like I'd have more of an advantage. So maybe he would want to do boxing. Because if I can grapple with him, once I get a hold of him, he's only like 140 pounds.
Yeah, he's like a rake, man. He's a skinny guy.
So maybe he would want boxing.
It might be in his best bet, yeah, if you guys go boxing, I'm thinking.
No, yourself, who would you throw hands with? Who are you chucking fists with?
So there's this one gear account, this hockey goalie gear account. He goes by Goalie Gear Nerd on Instagram, okay? And his real name is Tim McCarthy. He used to work at Paso and True, two hockey companies. He was like the head reps. I think he got fired from both. And one of the reasons he got fired was he started this Goalie Gear Nerd account. Where he was like behind the scenes, trying to be quiet, trying to be anonymous, stealthy. And he'd be going to take tours of the CCM factory, the Bauer factories, all this stuff, taking free gear, doing reviews, kind of, you know what I mean? It's a conflict of interest. And I believe Paso and True found out and said, see you later. You're fired. You're off the payroll, buddy. No severance. See you later. And this guy's always had a beef with me. He's always been picking fights with me. And he's this little 5'7" midget, Tim McCarthy out of St. Louis. And I always, and I thought to myself one time, and you bring it back to me, if I got into an MMA match and I could fight Tim McCarthy from Gola Geirnard, choke him out, put him in an arm bar, and he has this thing where anytime he posts about gear that he likes, he says it's GGN approved, Gola Geirnard approved. I choke this guy out, tap him out, win the fight. There you go. And I'd post a picture on Instagram with my hand in the air, big victory, belt around my waist, and I'd caption it, hashtag GGN approved.
Fuck yeah. That's marketing. Get wrecked.
Suck it, Tim.
Yeah, you'd give it to him too. I know you would.
The guy's also an absolute midget. He's like 5'6".
Oh, that's a fair fight. You get like a foot on him.
Dude, he puts up videos like talking about his gear. He's got these like, little sausage fingers in the videos. Like, oh man, your wife's going to deal with that. Jesus.
He's got the little nuggets.
Oh, dude, man. This guy's called me up my personal cell before and told me some fucked up shit. I'm not going to get into it, but this guy's a snowflake, man. Anyway.
Oh, you have to smash a snowflake right in the face, dude. Can't take that.
Or just pay your dirty dogs off to take care of it for you. Don't even get your hands dirty.
Yeah, don't let the dogs loose.
Yeah. Speaking of which, let's get into it since we're on the topic of fighting. You're in Florida. You're just on a week-long bender. Didn't hear from you up until today. Tell me about Florida. Tell me about the Jake Paul stuff.
I've been on the move. Like, it feels like kind of nice to just be like settled back in my house for a second here. Because I was up in Maine. I made a few videos there. I went on a little bend. Saw Ed. Ran into, obviously we had like the funeral type celebration of life for Red, and then Ed was like, all right, come down to Providence when you leave because Veli's flying out. Just drive Veli down to Providence, our Finnish roommate, and Quinny will meet us there. I'm like, okay, fine. So I leave Maine, I go down 5 hours to Providence, and we have a nice little night there. A little sayonara. It was my roommates from my senior year. It was the four of us, and it was like a little last hurrah. And I dropped Veli at the airport the next day. So I had to drive back to Boston, drop him at the airport, have a great life in Finland. I might see you, I might not. A little, hug goodbye. And then I go back home for a day. And then the next day, I'm back.
I gotta ask. So you had no flying this trip, no?
No, this was all driving.
Okay, I was gonna ask how the flying experience was, but you were driving, so never mind. Fuck me.
But then the next day, I went right into Logan again, and I flew down to Florida.
Now, how was your flight experience? Is this your first time or second time flying since the pandemic?
A few times. I've done three flights, I believe. Two to Minnesota and now this.
Okay, and how have you found it? Better or for worse?
I mean, it's just shitty that you have to wear masks the whole time, but I guess, you're right, I get why, but also they just pack you in. They don't give a fuck. And it's like a trust system.
Was your plane the same way? Like the flights that I've taken since the pandemic, everybody's been shoulder to shoulder, three to a row, no space in between, right?
Except one airline had three rows on one side and two on the other. So on the three side, they left the middle open. And then on the two side, you were crunched. So it was like, okay, so if you get over there, you're lucky. If not, like, fuck, weird. But the other ones have been full capacity, shoulder to shoulder. Like,
you just wonder why we're in the mess we're in. Sorry, I don't mean to get political on you. Sorry, I just talked about that.
Anyway. Yeah, so it was kind of weird. I'm like, okay, this is a trust system. It's not like they're taking temperature. They're not. It's just like, all right.
Honor system.
No. Yeah, exactly. But no one fucking is stopping. If they don't feel good, they're going. But luckily, I have antibodies. So anyways, I go down there to Jacksonville, and we have the Machine Gun Kelly concert and the UFC event. Dude, it didn't feel real to be back in the world. Like, I'm at a concert, no masks,
15,000 people,
crazy. Oh, at least, yeah. This place, yeah, it's
because they were sold out, right? It was a full house.
Sold out concert, sold out UFC event, like, or near sold out, and they were.
You know what would have been great? Cutaway. You're at the UFC event, packed house, 15,000 people, no diaper, having the time of your life. Meanwhile, in Canada, Travis at his apartment where legally he cannot have one person over.
Dude, yeah, no, it's actually, but like Florida is a different world. They just don't give a shit. Literally jamming out, full crowd, high five and the people next to me and shit, like no mask on, same thing. To be in like the UFC event after just being like sheltered like this and then having the hearing like a crowd roar and stuff is just, when you get to experience this again, it is something, man. I'm telling you,
it really makes you want. I'm not gonna lie, this is totally kind of unrelated. So on Sunday there was a huge anti-mask rally in Winnipeg, and I'm looking out my window and I see just crowds of people walking down my street from my window. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, what's the most logical thing to do? Well, I run down to the pizza joint, you know, a couple streets over. I pick up two large Italian sausage pizzas, and I make my way down to the anti-mask rally to go check it out. Not because I'm joining in, I'm curious to see what's going on. And although apples to oranges, there's like 1,000 people there, probably give or take, no masks. Everybody's, you know, kind of similar to your Florida event. And I'm thinking, wow, like this is kind of nice. You know, I have my pizza, I have a nice snack, a nice meal, and some entertainment. Closest thing that's going to be happening in Canada for at least the next 6 months.
Yeah, you feel naked, right? Wearing no mask around. Like,
I mean, I normally don't wear a mask.
Well, so in public, like out in public, I don't. Like if I'm outside, I'm not wearing a mask. But like indoors at an event or something, you feel naked not wearing a mask. Like you walk in, you're like, wow, this is weird.
What a treat. What a treat.
If you haven't seen MGK in concert, recommend. Just throwing that in there. But also, the cool little highlight of the UFC event was no one other than Jake Paul walking in. Comes storming, all of a sudden people start yelling. I'm like, yo, what's going on? Who's here? And everyone
cut Neil. Did you see him walk in yourself or?
Yeah, so, well, no. So everyone did. Because he came in. We were in a little early. My brother likes getting in early for the early prelims, the whole thing. He loves seeing the whole card. He's a diehard fan. So we're in there already, which, or a lot of people are in there early, and all of a sudden the crowd starts making noise. So he's down in like the big money ticket area next to the cage. Celebrities are there and just like rich people, you know how it is. All of a sudden someone's walking and people are going nuts. I'm like, yo, what the? So Neil points it out. He's like, oh, that's Jake Paul. So I'm looking down, I'm like, oh yeah, that is. That's Jake Paul. People are going nuts. So then a few minutes go by and everyone's screaming, you know, fuck Jake Paul, fuck it. The whole crowd's roaring and he's loving it. He's like, yeah, you know, it's doing his stupid fucking bit.
I saw it on his Instagram story, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't lie. I joined in on the chant. I'm like, fuck, you know, I'm screaming at him because I'm all into it. Even though I know it's an act, it pisses everyone off, you know? But he's kind of stole the show in a way. Like there was mid-fight. And people are like mid-fight of different fighters, people are yelling fuck Jake Paul, and like, dude, come on, like let the fighters have their moment here, like wait till in between the fights. But no, honestly, he's kind of a marketing genius.
Yeah,
it's just like I'm in on it too, right? I hate him. I want to see the guy get his head kicked in. That just means it's working. He knows what he's doing. He's just trolling, and he's not gonna beat up Daniel Cormier, you know, but he'll
who knows buy into it.
But in an actual fight, he knows he won't. Like, so Cormier walks up to him and people went nuts. Did you see that clip?
I saw that. I saw that.
He gets in his face and all of a sudden the crowd's going wild. So he'll buy into this, right? If he doesn't want to fight Daniel Cormier right there, because he knows what will happen. It's an Olympic level wrestler. It's a 260-pound man who will throw him on his face. But he'll go, oh, no, boxing. Fight me in a boxing match. And then it's like, okay, Cormier's not a boxer.
Neither was he though.
No, but he trained. He's been training it for like 3 years. Where he's like, he's pretty good. No one knows how good he is, but he can definitely throw a punch. He can hit, and he knows at least the basics of it. But you need to know how to throw a punch to knock someone down like that. You know, like whether it's Nate Robinson, who's a little guy, but still, I mean, he's a big kid. Jake Paul's like a 210-pound dude. He's like 6'1". He can hit, so it makes it exciting. No one knows how skilled he is yet, but. Who knows? The more he keeps training, the better he gets.
I don't know about you. I hate him as a person, like for what he's doing. But the story, I love the story because he's taken being on Disney Channel, taking it over to YouTube, and now he's boxing. It's entertaining, man. It is absolutely entertaining. I want him to keep winning because I want to see how big this will get.
Dude, I know.
But does it get any bigger? Can it even get any bigger? I don't know.
If he wins, dude, I'm so invested into it. I'm watching. He's on fucking Ariel Helwani, dude. Like, Ariel's the MMA fighter, like, interview. Big guy in the fighting world. He's got Jake Paul on his fucking podcast, man. Talking shit.
I think the thing that sunk in the most was he got Conor McGregor to go from being silent, radio silence, not a single word. Even the video about, you know, your wife's a four, fuck you, you Irish cunt or whatever he called him.
Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't get an answer out of him. And now he's tweeting about him. UFC is better than some blogger boxing match. And then Jake Paul's tweet, I lost it. Jack Daniels is better than Proper 12. I just about shit my diaper when I saw that tweet.
I love how Conor won't mention his name, though. It's a power move. Do you think Jake Paul will ever get McGregor's attention enough for him to fight or box him?
You know, he's 3-0. I think he's got to win a couple more fights to really get on that level. And I think McGregor himself has to keep going down. I saw Usman tweeting at him, "I finish people, you get finished." he's not wrong. I think he's lost his last two fights to Khabib.
Poirier, then Khabib, or Khabib and Poirier.
You got one on the up, you got one on the down, you got to meet at the same spot, and I think something might happen. He's only won one against Floyd for boxing, so.
Yeah. McGregor needs to win his next fight in July against Poirier. They have the trilogy fight, or I feel like he'll retire. I don't.
Like, he already retired once, though, I thought.
No, but not like officially, you know? I just feel like if he loses that one, part of why he's so marketable is he talks shit, but he backs it up. And if he's just losing, then it's like, all right, he's not what he was.
Well, he's talking shit, but he just ain't backing nothing up.
Well, he wasn't talking shit in the last one, but he's been running his mouth again, so it's kind of exciting. I hope he wins. But then again, like, Jake Paul he's not been seen enough, and he's not credible enough. So if it's like, why would McGregor fight him, you know? Why would he go?
A check for 50 sheets, 50 million bucks.
But McGregor doesn't need money. He just sold his whiskey business for upwards of 600 million. Did you see that?
I did not.
Yeah. He doesn't need money.
He sold Proper 12 for 60 million?
600 million.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Over. It says north of 600 million deal. It's between him and then his manager gets like whatever percent and then some other guy. Like he does not need money, you know? So it's like, why would he fight Jake Paul besides money? He risks his whole legacy if he goes in and boxes Jake Paul and loses, you know? And it's like, oh, payday? No, not worth it. He doesn't need the money.
This is a hockey podcast or is a UFC fighting podcast?
Both. It excites me.
Transitioning.
Yeah.
Before we get to our last topic of the day, I want to let you know that we have a new sponsor. Make sure you take a look at the TravSpec Pro Laces. Great deal. Some great toe ties for your on-ice game. Promo code TravSucks will save you $5 off. Your butt ends, your blocks. You need some great supplements beyond yourself. I got great supplements linked in my video description. Also, Shea Hydrated merch.
Shea Hydrated.
Not Sway Hydrated.
No. Shea Hydrated. Fuck that. Get your Shea Hydrated merch. And Slang in the Biscuit merch coming soon.
Somebody wanted posters the other day. They wanted a poster of our title thumbnail. So maybe that'll be coming soon. And shirts and hats.
What are the most popular hats? Are they the trucker hats?
I like these like stretchy ones. The ones that totally cover my dome.
You do the fit ones?
I like those ones. They're nice. They're nice.
All right, we'll have to get some polls going. See what they like.
I know we're only 5 episodes in, but if you want some merchandise, you want a shirt, you want a hat, let us know, please.
Let the boys know.
Back to the program. Our final topic of the day. Letting a woman down. Now, I'm good at letting people down, but not doing it gently.
Right.
You crying? Are you getting emotional already?
Yeah. This is a sad loss right now. I'm sorry. I hate the loss. We've talked about this before, I think, where I'm like, why are they asking me like what I want, blah, blah, blah. Because like, I'm a guy, I'm going with the flow, right? So it's like, I'm not looking for anything before it happens. I'm kind
of... You have a rough idea of what you're into and open to, but there's not something you want.
Right. But like, I'm not going to try to force a relationship. You can't force a vibe. I'm not out there like looking like, oh my God, who can I date? Like, I need a girlfriend. So, you know, that's stupid to me because then it's forced. And it's a forced vibe. You don't want to force a vibe. So I'm going into things. I'm just like, if I, you know, connect, then I'll go from there. But if not, whatever. That's life. But I've had a couple situations where it's like, some, and you know, I'm not saying guys can't being the it can't the roles can be reversed here, but in my experience recently, it's been like a girl or something like that has been like had feelings or something. You know, they're kind of into you. They want more. They're looking for more, and it. But I don't want to be a dick, right? Because I don't think I'm a dick. I'm not an asshole for the most part. It depends on who you ask, right? Someone might tell you.
You get a few bad reviews every now and then, but
yeah, it depends who you ask. But I don't think I am, and I don't want to be. So I'm. If someone tells me, you know, they kind of like me, but I'm just not feeling the vibe, then I'm like, fuck. How do I go about this without being a dick? What do you think? How do you go about that? I feel like people. We could give some serious tips here. And
you know, I try to give everybody a shout. You know, I try to give everybody an opportunity. There's been lots of girls that I've seen. Actually, believe it or not, so my last girlfriend, the one that I complained about with the dishes and shit with the plunger, we were together for 2+ years. And funny enough, the first date I had with her was like the worst date of my life ever. It was terrible. Awkward, nice. No conversation, just a terrible date. So I didn't talk to her for like 2-3 weeks. And then for whatever reason, I decided to send her a text one day. And, you know, we hung out a couple more times. And she just kind of kept hanging around. And I kept giving her opportunity, get to know somebody. And then, you know, that's probably a very rare situation. But for the most part, I feel like you got to give it an opportunity. Like, assuming they're not like totally weird. Like, if they're good-hearted, you know, you never know what you might find. You know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. Life is a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you can't. You don't know if the first hangout, right? Got to give it a few.
Takes time. Find one.
So I guess that's part of my thing. Then my problem right now is that like I'm not looking.
You're too quick on the trigger.
Well, I'm not looking too, right? So it's like it has to be a connection. So maybe you're right. Maybe I should hang out with someone a few times.
You know what? I'd like to debunk. Sorry to cut you off here. I'm gonna debunk something to the three females that are listening out here. Men aren't just interested in sex. For the most part, yes, but I find. Whether you sleep with me within the first 5 seconds of meeting me or you wait 5 months, once the deed has been done, that's off the list. Now that's no longer a goal. So now you have to strictly fall back on personality. Like there have been women where they have wanted to wait a while and things haven't worked out because I'm sorry, you just suck as a person. You're boring, right. You're bland, you're not funny, and you have no motivation in life. And then there's others where, at least personally, maybe you can feel free to disagree, you sleep with them. Actually, I had this one girl. She literally invited me over and was like, the first thing you're going to do when you walk on that door is you're going to bang me.
Oh.
And I said, I would love to.
That straightforwardness is incredible.
I love the honesty. I think that's what I was attracted to, was the honesty. But do the business and develop a great friendship. End up seeing each other for, you know, 3, 4, 5 months after that. On, you know, talk as friends, hang out as friends, do lots of cool, you know, cute shit and all that stuff. It was lovely. But you never know. Life's a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get until you open the box.
Yeah, and dip your spoon in it, for sure. Spinning around a little. Try a different few types of chocolate. Caramel.
Hey, I may not be able to stir the gumbo, but I can definitely lick the ladle, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, so maybe I should start taking some relationship advice from you.
My retention rate is significantly higher than yours, I feel like, because I like to develop. I develop prospects, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I'm the Detroit Red Wings. You're in the minors for 6-7 years, and then you come up. This isn't the Edmonton Oilers where I drafted you, and I'm pulling you in the lineup today.
You know, like, post-nut syndrome?
Yes.
If you're getting it, I feel like that's bad, right? It's like, oh, shit, I got to go.
I feel like post-nut syndrome happens every time. It's just a matter of how do you feel about it, what emotions are attached.
Like, so post-nut syndrome... For me, if I you know, do it, I'm like, ugh, disgust. Like, get me out of here. I need to leave it, you know? Or, like, post-nut, and then you're like, damn, I want to cuddle. Cool. I want to cuddle, you know?
Nice spoon. Nice little spoon.
Oh, that was nice. Session. Let's cuddle. Yeah, but I think that's, like, I don't know. Maybe it's our body trying to tell us something. I used to get... No, I hope there's no way she listens to this. I used to post nut syndrome the back half of my relationship, with my ex. Like the early, like first couple years, it would be like post nut, and I'd just be like, yo, let's cuddle and let's like, let's fucking spoon, let's spoon, let's fork and spoon. Oh, spoon, fork and spoon, let's like fork. Fucking like
spork.
No, no, spoon, like fucking spoon.
Oh, dude. Okay. Yeah.
That's trademark. But yeah, I used to do that. Then like back end of it, it was like, nah, I don't want to touch you right now. Give me a break. It was just bad. That's a sign you gotta get out, right?
You wanna wipe yourself off, maybe shower yourself off. Yeah. I don't know, out of here if you don't mind.
Yeah, I gotta watch some Netflix tonight.
You gotta hit the road.
But back to what my initial question, like, say it's like a few hangouts.
Yeah.
You're just not feeling it. And they are. This can go both ways. Say it's like, I'm feeling it, she's not. And it's her perspective. But like, whatever. How do you go about like saying like, listen, what I think I've done it nicely, the nicest way I could, but they still feels like they always get mad at you.
You know what? You see, here's the thing. I'll try to let them know and just be like, listen, Pat, Patricia, we've been hung out a couple times.
Are we role playing?
You got some bomb box, but I'm just not vibing it. And see, here's the thing. At this point, I'm so nice that they almost take it as an opportunity of change. Like, oh, here's some constructive feedback. I'm going to improve on this. I'm trying to, you know, cut the cord, you know, put the rod back in the box. So that's the problem. Maybe I'm not aggressive enough because I don't like wasting prospects. I like keeping them in the pool.
Yeah.
The FOMO, the fear of missing out of, listen, I gas you today. You might become a celebrity one day. And now I'm the real loser here.
You're thinking way ahead.
Long term. We're in it for all nine innings. We got two more periods ahead of us here. Chipping away. Ooh. We're going to chip pucks in deep.
I see what you're doing. But they might not have become the celebrity if you held on to them and kept them around. They might not have shot to their full potential.
Well, this same woman that I dated for 2 years told me that I was a loser. I was never going to amount to anything on YouTube. Well, guess what, lady?
Look at you now.
You're still a pencil pusher in a fucking jail cell.
She's in jail?
Oh. Well, no, she does paperwork. She's like a pencil pusher. She's like a secretary in a jail. That's what she was doing. I don't know if she's still doing it. But listen, lady, you hate your job. You're skinny fat. Ooh. So not to body shame. Sorry, you're skinny fat because you eat pretzels all day. And I'm on YouTube.
That's right, motherfucker.
Deal with it.
That's right.
Come at me.
This one girl, we hung out once. I won't go into too many details. I don't want to get too graphic.
Her name was Tiffany.
No, but we did. And it was pretty clear. I made where I was at with it clear. And then I'm getting texts like, oh, I can't wait to kiss you again. Like, missed that cute face. I'm like, hold on a second. Like, we were in my car.
It's in the McDonald's parking lot.
Yeah, on a Tuesday here. So I'm like, all right. Like, so, you know, part of me is like, it was pretty good. You know, I kind of want to do it again, but then I'm like, I can't knowingly like do that and keep hurting her. So I tell her that. I'm like, listen, I don't want to hurt you. Okay. I'm not going to like catch feelings. I'm in that stage of my life. You know, I dropped
out. Feed her lunch or what?
Yeah. So I went back that night and then I start getting these texts again or snaps or whatever you want to, and she's given the same thing. She's getting like mad at me because I'm not answering her and shit. She's like, you're not giving me any attention today. I'm like, I'm sorry. What are you confused about here? You know, like I don't snap you. I'm like, okay. Listen, I have a life to live here. Remember, I told you what this was about, blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to be nice, but no, then she gets mad at me. And then she's like, all right, I need to block you. I'm like, okay. Like,
hold on.
Block me.
Whoa. Men and ladies, lads and ladies, ladies and lads. If you do that shit when you're like, you don't text me back fast enough, all right? I'm a firm believer. This is how I was raised. Money talks, bullshit walks, okay? Mm-hmm. If you talk a big game about you're interested, you want to hang out, blah, 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 and your actions don't show it, I hate that shit. But if you talk a game of, you know, you're busy, I don't get super fast. I might get like 2 to 3 replies a day. It's kind of like trying to communicate with the government. You only get a couple of replies a day. Really, you know, it's kind of painful. You're kind of a Monday to Friday kind of thing.
Yep.
But very consistent on the Hangouts, consistent, reliable. That can vibe. That can totally vibe. That's totally okay.
Super vibe.
Totally.
I was about that too. Like, even with my ex, it's like I would always get shit because we had the long distance thing going, and I would get shit about not texting. But I'm like, dude, like, I'm living my life here. You see me. I'm there. You know what I mean? I'm like, but then there's that weird thing that it's like, you're not allowed to live your life. You have to be there, you know, texting 24/7 or something. Like, one, this is obviously a different example. If you're actually like in a relationship, not this like past thing I was just talking about. I stand my ground where I was there, but in a relationship, if I feel like you're allowed to live your life, you don't need to be talking 24/7 text messaging. I feel like that's middle school shit. No.
Yeah, I don't know where else to take that other side. Yeah, middle school, yeah. Elementary shit.
Yeah, and let's not fucking middle school, elementary school is bullshit. We're big dogs here. We're old. We're mature.
You know, this does take me down a path of, so my sister's a little fat, right? My sister's kind of like a little porker. And my sister was always the ugly friend of the friends that she would have. And one of the nice things about that is that she would bring friends over. And she stopped bringing friends around me or over around me when I was living at home, or even now tries not to introduce me to them because I would, you know, I would, you know, and
so what would you do?
I don't know. Well, I'd bang all over friends.
how old are these girls? Like 2 years younger than you?
My sister's 2 years younger than me. Yeah. So I remember there was one day my sister had this one friend over. They're hanging out. And the next day I bring her over. And she's like, oh, are you hanging out with me? She's like, no, I'm hanging out with your brother. Funk.
Dude, that's hilarious. So,
yeah. Dog's gotta eat, man. Feeding time.
She comes back over the next day. You're eyeing her. They're fucking sitting on the couch, you know, talking girl stuff, and you're in there eyeing her from the kitchen. Like, hey,
Cassandra, let's go.
You want a sausage? Dude, that's electric. I didn't have that.
I've done some fucked up shit. I've done some real fucked up
like,
shit.
The fact that you had her over the next day is great. Like, your sister's like, oh, what are you doing here? Oh, here to fuck your brother.
Because I like your brother better than you, you little punky. Sorry.
No, I'll hang out with you next week, though, you know? Still, that's tall, no? Yeah, you got tall family.
Yeah, my sister's like 6 feet, 5'11", 210.
Damn, she's tall.
Yeah.
She's bigger than me. Like, because I'm 5'10 and a half, round up to 5'11.
What do you weigh?
Yeah, 195.
She'd eat you, Doug. Literally, she'd eat the buffet lunch, and then after that, go back for seconds. Just like a God pig trough. Just an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Hey, God bless her. God bless her.
Anyway, before my mom calls me about this and is like, stop picking on your sister.
Maybe keep that part out for your dad.
You know, my mom or my dad and or both are going to call me like, why are you picking on your sister? You know, she's always the least favorite child. Anyway, thank you for listening to Slinging the Biscuit, Episode 5, presented by us, because we no longer have sponsors. Pat Shea, myself, Travis Ridgen, thanks for listening. Thanks for giving us the time of day. We're back every Thursday morning, a new episode of The Biscuit on Spotify, Apple Podcast.
God bless.
We'd like you to enjoy this song, Break Some Shit. So
I feel like shit. My suggestion is to keep your distance, cause right now I'm dangerous. We've all felt like this and been treated like this. All those motherfuckers that wanna step up. I hope you know I pack a chainsaw. I'll skin your ass raw. And if my day keeps going this way, I just might break something tonight. I pack a chainsaw. Face tonight!